the Blue Ribbon Commission on Maine EMS, and we have a single. We'll see if we have an agenda. Yeah, we do. Okay. Introductions, review and discussion of draft report, and adjourn. And so, to remind folks where we are, we have at our last two meetings, we finalized our findings and recommendations, and we sent our committee analyst out to write a report, and that has come back to us. And so we will be dealing with what is often called language review in the joint standing committees. Although we're not going to be doing language review like that. We're not going to be doing grammar because there is another review level that will be happening, but looking for substantive ideas. And then we will review, discuss, and then adjourn. That's our agenda. It's a pretty short agenda. And let's get started with introductions. And so I will, let's start with on our virtual participants, and I will call them out. If Commissioner Kellner could begin.
Good afternoon, everybody. Joe Kellner here, representing a statewide association of hospitals.
And Commissioner, is that Damon?
Excuse me. Hi, good afternoon. Caitlin Damon, representing a volunteer EMS service.
Great. And Commissioner McGinnis?
Good afternoon, Kevin McGinnis, representing a statewide association of emergency medical service providers.
And Commissioner Doan.
Good afternoon, Melissa Doan, representing municipalities and Maine Municipal Association.
And Commissioner Kipfer, can you work us around the horseshoe this way?
Certainly. Good afternoon. My name is Carrie Kipfer. I'm representing the counties of Maine.
Hi there, I'm Sue Salisbury, and I represent House District 128, which is part of Westbrook. Well, 128 tomorrow. Today it's House District 35.
Go ahead.
Good afternoon. My name is Chris Baker, representing a community over 10,000.
Good afternoon. My name is Rick Petrie. I'm a paramedic representing for-profit ambulance services.
Sam Hurley, Director of Maine Emergency Medical Services.
And I realize I failed to introduce myself at the very start, so I'll introduce myself. I'm Senator Chip Curry, and I represent the 26 rural, coastal, and island communities of Waldo County. And I see that we also have Commissioner Letourneau. We've just done introductions. If you could introduce yourself.
Yeah, great. Hi, Lisa Letourneau. Sorry, I can't be there in person today, but senior advisor at Maine DHHS Commissioner's Office representing DHHS.
Excellent. So we'll now bring our attention to the our commission analyst is go ahead.
Good afternoon. Hillary Risler and Dan Tartikoff is joining us remotely today, and as Steve Langland also came in for some backup technical support as well if we need him.
Excellent. Thank you. And we are also live streaming as we have with all of our committee meetings. So we have the report before us, and we'll just begin with, are there any, what substantive issues? Did anyone have substantive issues that sound different than what we agreed on earlier that in terms of the report? Does anyone have any items that they would like to bring forward? Commissioner Hurley.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to just make one modification. It's not hugely substantive, but I think it matters. For recommendation B3, the legislature should direct Maine EMS to convene a stakeholder group. We would ask that be the legislature should direct Maine EMS, Maine Community College System, and the University of Maine system, because Maine EMS wants to do this. Mm-hmm. So we really need those other players to be kind of asked to the table, not necessarily Maine EMS wants to do this.
Ms. Risler, do you find, is that something that you think needs any type of vote, or is that something that you could just hear and make the adjustments to?
Everybody's comfortable with that. There's no reason we can't make that change. In terms of drafting that, you know, one of the reasons why I drafted that particular way is sometimes it's helpful to have one person sort of designated as the convening person. But I think for the purposes of the report, it certainly makes sense to just say these three need to get together, and maybe down the road someone can figure out who should be in charge. But I don't see that as anything substantive that would need a new vote unless people are uncomfortable with that.
Great. Thank you. Sounds like we're comfortable with that. Are there other items? Substantive items, Commissioner Doan?
Yeah, I don't, this isn't to do with what's in the report, but something that I did want to see if we could get put in there is at the Maine Municipal Conference, I talked to many EMS leaders and offered them to give me a call and letting them know that I was on this Blue Ribbon Commission. And one thing that has come out of all of the conversations I've had, and I've had quite a few, is a disconnect between Maine EMS. And my conversations with Commissioner Hurley is, you know, he's remarkable. He has a passion for it and he knows so much. And I think that the disconnect is because it's so bureaucratic, you know, there's so many layers to it. So I just wondered if there's a finding or a recommendation that we could make in which all departments are somehow surveyed and so that they know that their voice is being heard. Silence.
Response. Commissioner Doan, my initial reaction is that the finding or the recommendation for an ongoing committee, another commission, can be subsumed within that.
Yes, I agree.
And the continued next steps, especially after the finalization of the main strategic plan. So I feel comfortable with it, with not adding a separate finding, but I feel comfortable assuming that. But that's just me, and so I would be curious of other members. Commissioner Hurley.
So revisiting the three big items that we talked about here: funding, structure, and workforce. Is there palatability for there to be a recommendation to explore? Not recommending what we do, but to explore structure that supports hearing the voices of those communities. That way you're not saying one way or another how it should be, a regional structure, you're not saying any of those things, but that needs to be explored because I think we all recognize that there were problems with the structure. Basically calling out that there are structural problems and saying that that needs to be explored, not that you're offering the solution, but that needs to be explored on a way to fix it.
Are you recommending that be like included in the second commission as one of the charges to explore structure, or are you
ahead. Sorry. Personally, I believe it goes beyond the commission. I think it's the strategic plan, all of those things need to explore what the structure should look like, and likely it would require the second commission or some legislative action to implement. What I would say is just trying to elevate what Commissioner Doan was saying about making sure everyone feels as though they have a voice, but really working on if Commissioner Doan is talking to people right now and they say they don't feel heard, the structure is broken. Case in point, over. So we need to work on building a better structure or modifying our structure or expanding our structure to support making sure that those people are heard and feel involved. But I don't think we are at a place right now to make those recommendations. But making a broader recommendation of, we think the system as a whole, whether that be the strategic plan, whether that be another Blue Ribbon Commission, need to evaluate the system structure and sustainability of that structure to ensure engagement with and involvement with services and voices of the locale being heard.
Mm-hmm. Commissioner Petrie.
It's really interesting, Commissioner Doan's statement. I think it does need to be explored, and I think passing it to the next commission would be really good, because I think the question that needs to be looked at is, given the numerous ways, the pathways that are in place for them to communicate between the board representation, the regional councils, in any number of other committees and groups that are out there, is it that I think we need to figure out, is it the, do they not feel like they have a pathway to be heard, or they just do they just feel like they're not being listened to when they use those pathways? And I think that would be a really good distinction for that next group to work out before we figure out the structural changes. Is it because they don't feel like they have a way to make their voices heard, or have they been trying to make their voices heard, just don't feel like they're being listened to? So thank you.
How does the Commissioner, Representative Salisbury?
I was just going to say, under on page two, under the D1, the recommendation D1, would it be wise to add some wording under there, whether it's another recommendation or just add some wording that one of the things would be to make sure that that area was discussed, the pathways for listening to providers or something like that, exploring the different opportunities and what the barriers are, or would that be too much in the weeds of that?
I think that page two only has the bullet point. So if we go to the corresponding spot within the whole report, let's see what it says there.
It's page 19.
Thank you.
We can only have a certain number of mics on at a time, so I'm going to claim mine. But yeah, so it's page 19 is where the actual recommendation is. And I certainly think if commission members are in agreement that that's sort of one of the things that this commission hasn't quite narrowed down on or focused on, that we could certainly add some language there, basically that, among other things, the structure of Maine EMS needs to be examined further. And it sounds like a big part of that would be to establish a structure that makes sure all voices can be heard, something like that.
Commissioner Dunn.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. I heard Hillary.
The microphone. Are you comfortable with that as a way to move forward?
I really, really appreciate that. And you know, every conversation I had with the providers was, you know, they're feeling like they're not being heard and that they're getting forced to have all these trainings and all these protocols. And I'm trying to explain to them that the limited staff that Maine EMS has and the limited funding that Maine EMS has, and they didn't even know that, you know? So we even heard from the commissioner of public safety that he openly admitted that he didn't know anything about EMS. He knew a lot about law enforcement, but not about EMS. So I think that that's a great point to put in there, and I really appreciate it.
Commissioner Kellner, are you trying to add another item, or are you wanting to engage on this one?
Separate topic, sir.
Okay, I thought so, but I just wanted to double check. Commissioner Kipfer.
Could we also address the strategic plan within that finding to make sure that we're offering support and getting the recommendations of the strategic plan rolled out? I don't remember seeing anything in this report addressing that.
If I may, Senator, we did sort of talk about it just briefly in terms of that this reestablished commission would be in a better position to address some of those strategic planning recommendations, since they weren't finalized by the time your commission finished its work. I'm going to sort of look to Commission Member Hurley for a moment in terms of, is it fair to say that one of their recommendations you anticipate is going to be on structure, and that that is something that that next commission could examine?
Yes. That is fair.
So if commission members are comfortable, we can sort of tie that in. My understanding is not necessarily to say that this commission is endorsing any of that, but simply that the next commission should be looking at those recommendations when they do their work. Is that?
Okay. Are commission members comfortable with incorporating charge to the new commission to deal with, to address issues of structure? Am I saying that clear enough for you?
Yes, and what we'll do is we're not going to change the bold recommendation. That would stay the same in terms of reestablishing the commission, but in those sub-paragraphs, explain that this is one of those areas that, that needs more examination.
Is there any opposition to that? Okay, is that enough? Great, thank you. Commissioner Kellner.
Thank you very much. And to Hillary and Dan, huge thanks on the drafting of this report. I think it's extremely well done and put together. A couple of things in kind of increasing substantive order. The first one on page 6, when we talk about the structure of AMS and the services, I would just simply suggest we add one air medical service at the bottom of that page is also being part of the main EMS system. So that one's pretty simple.
I was gonna say any objection, one air medical service?
Nope.
Great.
The next one on, I would suggest is part of findings and recommendations beginning on page 11. One of the things that might be helpful to references we talk about funding is the legislature's determination of the essentiality of EMS in the previous session. And I thought it might be helpful to add that background in there that it's already been determined that EMS is an essential service and the funding is necessary to support that notion that EMS is indeed essential.
Is anyone opposed to that? Okay, thank you.
And then finally, the next one is a bit more complex and may generate some discussion. On the funding, the $70 million, one of the things that's been discussed in some forums, I cannot remember if in this forum, is whether or not we would want to limit that to services that are already existing today. And the reason I bring that up is the potential concern of inviting large numbers of outside players into the state that see this potential influx of funding that could disrupt the system even further. I would suggest that we limit eligibility for this funding to services that are already existing as of today or some date certain that we set.
Discussion. Commissioner Kipper.
I understand the concern, and I would suggest that we amend that wording to be inclusive of any type of regionalization of existing services. So if two or more wanted to gather together to create a new entity, they should also be eligible.
Yeah, I think saying current services or their successors or something along those lines would be fine from my perspective.
Any concerns on that, Commissioner Petrie?
No, I don't have a concern. I think it's a great idea. I think that if the state of Maine is finally able to try to work to make services whole and make them be able to thrive, there is always the possibility that there will be people coming to the table now because it's now worth their time. We should support the services that have struggled to hold the Maine EMS system together forever. So thank you.
Commissioner McGinnis, were you trying to get in on this discussion or another one?
No, this discussion. I have the same concern about, I understand Commissioner Kellner's suggestion and I agree with it. And I am concerned about services that may collapse and need another service in that service area. I think successors is probably does the trick there. So I think as I think about it, let's just leave it at that. That's fine. Thank you.
Yeah. Ms. Risler, do you feel you have a good language for what we're asking for or seem to be coming to?
I think so. My question for the chair and for the commission is whether you think that's a substantive enough change that it's worth re-voting on. Given that sub-members who may have voted on that are not necessarily present right now. And I would defer to
the chair.
To the chair.
That feels like it's substantive enough. I would say let's do a vote on that and give members who are not here the opportunity to cast their vote. What, today? When do, well, you can work on this after that, right?
Yes.
We just can't meet.
Yes. No. So we will work on this. And typically what we'll do is we would have to draft something up, some language so that someone who wasn't here can understand what they're voting on. And then we usually set, you know, a 24 or 48 hour deadline. And if we don't hear from them in that time period, they're recorded as absent.
Okay. All those in favor of including the successor language limit, the limit to the entities that are currently here, are providing services, or their successor successor organizations. Raise your hand if you're in support. And opposed? And abstaining?
Abstain.
Abstain.
Yep. I'm familiar with this pattern. Okay. Commissioner Kellner, were there any more substantive issues?
No, nope, I'll just again say thank you for the work generating this report.
Excellent. Thank you. I had a question on my read. We got a report and we had a presentation on community paramedicine as a strategy for, as I understood it, making sure that finding a revenue source, you know, for the cost of readiness. What do you do when you're sitting there ready? The proposal that the recommendation we have in there deals with a licensure question between home health care and paramedicine. As I read the report, I thought we were going to say something stronger about we see this as a strategy that should be pursued in terms of as a way to help strengthen the long-term sustainability of Maine EMS. But it came off a little bit more like a technical fix. Now, maybe that technical fix solves it, because as I thought further about it, is community paramedicine essentially home health care, and they just need to fix that? That would allow them to do that, or a subset of home health care, a smaller set, but within it. So I guess I'll put that to the commission. I felt it needed a little strengthening in terms of what we are wanting out of community paramedicine. And I'm looking for the page. I don't have it in front of me.
Community paramedicine section starts on page 17.
Thank you. And it might be just in section C, that first paragraph, that I could recommend a clarification that the commission recognizes or looks for community paramedicine to be expanded in the state of Maine. I mean, I guess I'm fumbling with my words here, and so I will take assistance if anyone has an idea. Commissioner Kellner, were you trying to engage on this?
Yeah, just a couple of points as you were speaking. So I fully agree. I think underscoring the importance of community paramedicine as a component of the EMS system and the overall healthcare system is really important, and highlighting that is good. I would be hesitant to suggest that community paramedicine is home health and or home health is community paramedicine. I think they're complementary services. The other piece that I think we need to be careful of is, you know, in practice, as services have worked to operationalize community paramedicine in certain areas, you know, I look at our service in Greenville that has a lot of downtime based on rurality. That idea works, but in an area like Portland, for example, that is doing some really interesting things, it almost needs to be its own service line. So I wouldn't necessarily justify community paramedicine in saying that it's funding ready time, but rather it's another potential revenue stream for EMS services, and more importantly, is hugely impactful to decreasing healthcare costs in the state through reduction in hospitalization, allowing patients to be at home, supplementing home health programs, et cetera. So to that end, I would fully support us for those reasons, really highlighting how important community paramedicine is and that it should be a focus of ongoing discussions. Thank you.
I'm comfortable with just strengthening the initial paragraph. I don't believe we actually ever came up with a recommendation of action steps for community paramedicine beyond this. So I'm comfortable just if we can strengthen the importance of it within the ecosystem of EMS. I'm not asking for anything more there. Commissioner McGinnis.
Yeah, there really are two issues here. The one in terms of strengthening community paramedicine and strengthening the language regarding Maine's commitment to community paramedicine. I would say what Commissioner Kellner said exactly, that it is proven itself to be impactful in improving the healthcare system and in reducing healthcare costs. So that I agree with that part, and as you reflected it, Mr. Chairman. The second part is simply a technicality of potential conflict between two pieces of statute, two pieces of Maine law. And I think that the current language in the report adequately addresses that. And the people that are concerned about that know what those conflicts are. And as long as the report encourages de-conflicting that, I think we can make that work.
Okay. Commissioner Petrie.
Yeah, I think those are good points. And I think strengthening the language is good. Kind of sets the stage for the next Blue Ribbon Commission to take a look at this. The in addition to the technical pieces that Commissioner McGinnis spoke about and the stuff that Commissioner Kellner spoke about, the two of the major issues impacting community paramedicine ability to do that right now are workforce, which we're trying to work on with the other thing. We can't afford to take paramedics or EMS providers off the street to do community paramedicine. And the second one is reimbursement. There is no reimbursement. So when you talk about strengthening the language, I would like to add something in there about looking for ways to provide reimbursement for community paramedicine, if that's possible. I think that would be that'll be a key thing. This otherwise, I don't think this will ever get off the ground.
Ms. Risler, do you feel like that? I mean, I don't disagree. Does that become a finding or a recommendation?
So I think that we do have sort of that introductory paragraph sort of talks about what community paramedicine is. So in terms of what you're talking about and just reemphasizing the importance of community paramedicine, I don't see there's any reason why we can't do that in that sort of introductory paragraph. On the reimbursement, I'm not sure it's something that this commission has talked much about. But again, to the extent we're just sort of providing an overview of what community paramedicine does, I don't know why we couldn't just add something in there, even if it was just a footnote of, you know, that they're not getting that reimbursement. I think we could find a way to work that in pretty well.
I mean, we could recognize that's greatest impediment to advancing community paramedicine is the lack of a reimbursement model. Commissioner Hurley.
Which that is something Maine EMS is actively working to do right now. We've invested $100,000 in doing a plan modification to Maine Care to pay for community paramedicine, which the start of payments will be July 1st, 2024, based on our current projections, because plan modifications with the federal government take time. Mm-hmm. And so we are working on addressing this because we see too that community paramedicine will not be sustainable without reimbursement. So just to kind of put that out there is reimbursement is a huge problem, but it is something that both DHHS and Maine EMS and the Department of Public Safety are actively working on trying to address.
So with that, that's thrilling. That's wonderful to hear. And so with that, it might be in that opening paragraph we can add, and the commission supports the current efforts of Maine EMS and DHS to develop a reimbursement model.
So one caution I want to give, just this is sort of generally as we go through, and this is sort of the biggest place it's come up so far. Obviously, we are at the sort of the end of the work. There's not going to be another meeting here. So as we go back and make some of these fine-tuning changes, we will be looking in particular at your Senate chair to make sure that those components are right. You will see it one final time, but as you can understand, it'll be very much a technical review as opposed to a big substantive review. So I just want to confirm with the commission members that as Dan and I work on drafting up some of these pieces, that you're okay with us reaching out to Senator Curry. If we have questions, he'll be our point person for that.
Great. Excellent. Any concerns? No disagreement? We'll move on. Other items of substantive or of substantive issues with the report? I had a tiny one, so marginally substantive. In a couple places, you speak to the funding of EMS through Medicare and Medicaid, primarily funded through Medicaid and Medicare. We don't reference any private insurance or commercial insurance in that. I'm trying to remember, is that an oversight in the report, or the degree to which, I mean, what percent is private insurance and commercial insurance?
Somewhere around 18-20%, probably, depending on where you are.
It feels like we need to reference that. Just, it's yes, primarily funded through Medicare and Medicaid, but not entirely. And there's a couple locations we said that, page 7.
Yep. I think the only place it's referenced is on page 10. When we talk about subsidies, there's a reference that commercial payers are one of the subsidies. But we could certainly add in either in the reimbursement section, a footnote perhaps of just, you know, that 18-20% is paid by private insurers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just, like on page 7 where it says EMS is funded primarily through Medicaid and Medicare reimbursement, I just hitched a little bit. I'm like, well, what about the insurance?
Chair.
And then maybe possibly to a lesser extent, you could say to a lesser extent, private insurance. Commissioner Hurley.
And I'm sorry to do this to you, but just for wordsmithing, is funded primarily through insurance reimbursement, both public and private, you know, that way you're referencing both public and private reimbursement, because I think for the Kennebunkports of the world, that percentage is probably much, 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 much different versus the Bangors or the Portlands of the world. And I hate for us to put a statewide report that says it's 18-20% when that may not be accurate for every community in Maine. Whereas if we're more generic, it may be. Sorry, I don't mean to wordsmith for you.
No. So I guess my question is, as a commission, it currently says that the EMS is funded primarily through Medicare and Medicaid reimbursement. Are you saying to strike that and instead say that EMS is funded primarily through insurance reimbursement, both public and private? Or is the intent to keep that it is mostly funded through Medicare and Medicaid reimbursement, but that there's also other payers such as commercial payers, private payers?
I was just trying to add in that, like, I think that the essence of the message is that the majority of the state system-wide is public insurance, Medicare and Medicaid. However, there is a contribution statewide level of private insurance, and it struck me as something that needed to be said early on, because maybe I missed this. So, Commissioner Petrie.
No, I would agree. I think it is important because the majority of the ambulance calls are in fact reimbursed by Medicare and Medicaid, and then you've got the self-pay and the private insurers. So I think it is good to break that up that way. Thank you.
So I do see that Commission Member Pelner also added something to the chat, which, if it's all right with Senator, I'll just read.
Yeah, we're not seeing the chat.
So he added first that Medicare, Medicaid, hospitals, facilities, commercial insurers, and self-pay patients, and then suggested while EMS receives reimbursement from private and governmental payers, reimbursement can also be very complicated. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like that would be a slight revision.
That would be the suggested language from me.
Can you say that one more time?
Sure. It's while EMS receives reimbursement from private and governmental payers, reimbursement can also be very complicated.
You had a whole list of payers before that statement, right?
Yes.
Okay, Keith, that
Medicare,
part?
Medicaid, hospitals and facilities, commercial insurers, and self-pay patients.
I don't want to lose the side that the public is paying the majority of this right now for this at the statewide system. So I want to hang on to some reference to that this is the vast majority is coming through Medicaid and Medicare.
So what if we just go ahead and say something that EMS is funded primarily through Medicare and Medicaid reimbursement. However, there is also reimbursement through hospitals and facilities, commercial insurers, and self-pay patients, something like mm-hmm. that, which is all very complicated.
Great. I'm comfortable with that.
Yeah. But keep the primarily Medicare and Medicaid, but add in also these are the other people who are paying.
Right. I'm also thinking of Commissioner Hurley's statement there is like at the statewide level.
Yep.
You know, da 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 da. So we're not, so it's clear we're talking about statewide and not Yarmouth or Falmouth. Okay. If you're hearing loud bangs, evidently we have a wind tunnel right outside our hallway. When the door opens, every door here slams. So if you're not hearing it, feel comforted. Okay. Any other items? It looks like we have completed the work of this commission. Is that the case?
Sounds
possibly.
Sounds like your work, maybe.
Like, it looks like commission members might have completed the work of this commission. I'll give any other last moments. I want to thank the commission members. This has been a thorough process, and I think people have come with good intent and goodwill, and have brought appropriate attention to the degree of seriousness that the state faces within Maine EMS or within the our whole EMS system. So I want to thank all the members for volunteering and donating significant time and greatly appreciate your continued support. Any other comments? Commissioner Petrie.
I just want to just say the same thing. Basically, thank you for your work. The fact that this commission was organized and met on a regular basis caused a kind of a feeling of optimism amongst EMS providers in the state that somebody was listening, paying attention to the plight that they're going through on a daily basis. Understanding this is a bigger issue that can be solved locally, or you know, even alone by the tremendous work the Maine EMS board is doing. This really requires the legislature and the state government, and they've been hearing great feedback about that. And nationally, this is getting a fair amount of attention. I've spent a fair amount of time on the phone with EMS providers and organizations from other states who want to know how we got here, how and what was happening with us. Because they're struggling with a lot of the same issues. So I really want to thank you for your time and support and standing this up. Thank you.
C- Seeing no other comments, Ms. Risler, do you have any requests of us?
So just a few comments on sort of final steps. We'll go back, make those few small changes. We'll be reaching out to those who were either absent at the last meeting or at this meeting to try to wrangle in a couple of those absentee votes if we can receive them. Other than that, we'll have a final draft. We have a final sort of review where we put everything together, table of contents, appendices, all that. And we'll probably send that to you as sort of one final proof read through, make sure your name is spelled correctly, et cetera. And then when the report is completed, you'll each receive a hard copy. I'll send out just to make sure we get your mailing addresses correctly. We'll get those to you. And then it'll be posted on the website as well. And other than that, if there are questions that we have, we'll be reaching out to your chairs first to see if you can help resolve them. And if you have questions for us, you know where to find us.
Okay. Commissioner Kipfer.
What happens after that?
So the hope for outcome is there are plenty of ideas here that require legislation and that members of the commission will and or other legislators will use this document to develop legislation. Commission members are probably the ones most in the know of what's in here to formulate legislation. Although it's fascinating to me, you know, sometimes even old documents become the foundations for new legislation. I think of the white paper Commissioner McInnes wrote on informed community self-determination was the foundation for the bill I put in. I can't even remember what year you wrote that. Or the group that you were part of wrote that. I think those are the next steps. Obviously, any recommendation around a continued commission would need to receive the legislative support and have to go through as a bill.
Is there anything that those of us that are on the commission that aren't in the legislature can do to help advocate for this?
That's a great question. I won't be the one to try to answer that alone, but go for it.
I think once legislation is submitted and the public hearings start to happen, that would be when it would be a good time to have that support, people that are willing to testify and talk about the work that's been done and you know, how important it is and just encourage that. That'll be really helpful.
Thank you.
I'll also add that I don't think, I don't want to say that, oh, now it's the legislature's job to do their work. Yes, there's a role for us to do, but I think there's a tremendous role for players out there to, you know, create collaborative, you know, we talk about regionalization and finding efficiency. It might just be collaborations of areas that are working to do better service and finding answers on the ground and then sharing those on the ground. And so we need everyone doing the work, you know, finding things that make it stronger. And so, yes, this is the legislative side to it, but there are also all of the actually getting it done side of it and the creativity and the leadership that's needed at every level of this. So I don't want to give anyone off the hook. I don't want anyone to be off the hook. We all got to be doing this work. Commissioner Petrie.
I think that's where the key is going to be, Commissioner, is once this comes out and bills are generated out of this, is that we all have to get together and make sure that our representatives and senators know just exactly what the extent of the problem is. Because one of the issues that we're all faced with is that there's plenty of need out there in the state of Maine for money, and everybody's making their case. And we've always been good about in EMS about kind of quietly just going about our job, no matter the toll it took. And we need to stop that. And so the helpful piece will be reaching out to the organizations in your area and encouraging them to speak to their representatives and their senators, just exactly what the problem is and how difficult it is for them to get what they need. And that's what's going to help us when it comes to the committees and ultimately to the, what's the group that gives us money? Sorry, appropriations. Appropriate. How could I forget that? Right? Appropriations.
People of Maine.
Yeah, people of Maine. There we go. And including the people of Maine. You know, they we need to hear from.
I will share that my path into this world came from town leaders and directors of EMS that were ringing the alarm bell, that were saying, this is, we're in a whole new world. And you may remember EMS from, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, but it's different now. And so that was really helpful. So even if folks don't have solutions, just helping your local representatives and legislators know that there's a problem and know that things are, as we kept saying on this, on the cliff or past the cliff. That was my pathway into it, is people I knew and respected that had held up the local EMS that were saying this is a crisis. And so that motivates people, motivated me. With that, I will adjourn this meeting. So we are adjourned. Thank you all very much. Thank you for your volunteerism.